Virginia is for losers.
What?
Prada, now Gucci, in trouble. So while trying to honor the dead, you could have killed me. Okay, it's quiz time. How many people try to get across the border every day? Have any idea? And today I'm going to challenge you on seizing the moment. Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Is it a Thursday? It is. News, information, comment, thoughts about all kinds of things coming your way today on the program. Call a friend. Tell them we're on the air. I'm looking forward to this in just 1 minute. More and more people join us every day on Facebook. I so thoroughly enjoy seeing your name and your request to be a friend. Absolutely. Greg, Jerry G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Many of you are so faithful listening to the program, and some stations carry it twice a day, and you listen twice a day. I wouldn't even do that. I love it. Thanks so much, my friend. Hey, we're coming to Johnson City, Kingsport, Bristol, for the WHCB Share-a-thon, Spring Share-a-thon, the end of February. We're pushing spring a little, but we'll warm you up with Share-a-thon on 91.5. Oh, join us, my friend, for 3 big days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, last couple of days of February there and the first day of March. And then we're sticking around to preach in some churches in the area. I would love to see you. Come on out. Enjoy the fellowship, the music, and the preaching of the Word of God. That's going to be on March 2nd and 3rd. We're going to be there at the First Faithful Baptist Church in Elizabethton, Tennessee, on a Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Some of you said you're coming from around the area. I'm looking forward to it. It's so good. And the fellowship around the Word. Greg Patton's Traveling Salvation Show coming to Tennessee. Well, I think the New York Post is a little tough here. Front page, Virginia is for losers. Well, they're having a little problem there, but I know a lot of good Christians, good supporters of Hello World in Virginia. Don't listen to them. Just got some bad politics going on right now. You got to kind of wonder, is there any good politics anywhere? Heard about it? The world has heard about it. What am I saying? Virginia's leadership crisis took a just an absurd, crazy turn yesterday when the man who is second in line to become governor admitted that he has worn blackface, even as Governor Ralph Northam's job is already on the line for the same thing, and the man who is first in line to replace him is embroiled in a sex scandal now. This disastrous domino effect has now thrust the Republican state House Speaker into the spotlight as the third in line for the top job, a man who only scored his post in a coin toss election, and the Republicans could take the governorship. That is just bizarre. Where did all of this start? Where is all of this going to end? Do you think that we overkill things sometimes? I'm not trying to be insensitive here. I'm not sure what's going on. Another example. Well, Gucci is a name that everyone knows, and, well, now they're in this blackface controversy themselves. Barely a month after Italian luxury fashion house Prada was accused of racism, Gucci has now found itself in hot water. It's the Balaclava Knit Top Black. It costs $900, and it sparked social media outrage with several users suggesting that it resembles blackface. The turtleneck top, which was part of the Gucci's Fall and Winter 2018 collection, no longer available at the brand's website. The knit sweater covers the lower half of the face and also features a cutout at the mouth that looks like oversized red lips, and oh, here we go again. Gucci. Let me ask you something. Do you have any idea how many people try to cross our border from Mexico to the United States every day? My friend, it's got to be considered a ticking time bomb. What is the new border crisis? 1,800 illegal crossing attempts every day. Attempts. How many make it? A pro-Trump group has taken the president's demand for a border wall funding to the streets around Capitol Hill, warning that a barrier is needed to thwart these 1,800 illegal crossing attempts. America's First Policies, which promotes President Trump's agenda, has outfitted a truck with a billboard ticker that displays the minute-by-minute count of illegal crossing attempts at the U.S.-Mexico border. So getting into the Army is a cakewalk, right? Pretty easy thing to do. Army soldiers struggling to haul heavy sleds backwards as fast as they can down a grassy field at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, filling the brisk North Carolina morning air with grunts of exertion and shouts of instruction from their coaches. Watching from the sidelines, Sergeant Major Harold Simpson shakes his head. As a military intelligence specialist, he spends a lot of time behind a desk. Over his 2 decades in the Army, he could easily pound out the sit-ups, the push-ups, the two-mile run that for years have made up the service's fitness test. But change is a-coming. The Army is developing a new, more grueling and complex fitness exam that adds deadlifts, power throws, and other exercises designed to make soldiers more fit and ready for combat. I'm prepared to be utterly embarrassed, Samson said on a recent morning 2 days before he was to take the test. Commanders have complained now for years that the soldiers they get out of basic training are not fit enough, so they're gonna change it. Well, life met death for me yesterday. Had an extremely busy day. Had kind of a semi-emergency call to the hospital, and I'm on my way there. It's about 20-minute drive away through town. It said I get right downtown, and here comes a funeral procession. Yeah, I've been in so many of those in the lead car. Sure, you do the funeral, you ride with the funeral director, and boy, it's something. You just go real slow for the most part, and oh, I get nervous every time we go through the red lights, etc. And this was such a long, long funeral procession. I could not believe my eyes. So 3-lane highway down through the city of Fort Wayne. What do you do? It was incredible. I saw several instances of near crashes in the other lane. Once we got out of the city and got into divided highway, people were stopping in both lanes across the road. And people were actually going out into the median to get around those who had stopped for the funeral procession. What to do? What to do? I understand. People paying their respects for the dead. But where does life meet death? Well, I was just moving along. I thought, okay, I'll just get over in the left-hand lane, and many of us are moving. It aggravated people in the funeral procession. Like we should just take our time, do something. By the way, when I pass away, you don't have to stop for me. I'm already with Jesus. Go about your business and get me someplace, okay? I don't want to interrupt your schedule. So, what happened? People in this group actually came over into my lane. One guy laying on the horn and nearly ramming into me. So I kind of stopped the car. Everybody stopped behind me. What a dangerous situation. And then something I never witnessed before, really bizarre, happened. People in the procession, I know, were aggravated by people passing the procession. All of this on a divided highway. Now, think this thing through with me. What next? They came over and rode right down the center so you couldn't get around at all. That's illegal. Here in Indiana, it's code L921-13-6. A person who drives a vehicle may pass a funeral procession on the procession's left side on a multiple-lane highway if the passing can be done safely. And we were. Crazy. What to do? What would you do, my friend? Oh, just on my high horse. I don't understand people sometimes. It's just a part of Life 101, where you and I live every day. Back to the news, right after this. How would you characterize your relationship to Almighty God? Would you say it's like a friend, maybe, whom you could just sit down today and have an occasional cup of coffee with? Or is he at the opposite end of the spectrum, a valued member of your household who's included in every aspect of your life, every day? Most likely, the nature of your bond falls somewhere in between all of that. Whatever the state of your relationship with God, be assured that he wants something closer and more meaningful. Yes, he does. God desires a connection so deep and really so strong that words like friendship and fellowship cannot fully describe what you and God have. He created you for intimacy. Of all the creatures on this earth, human beings are the only ones made in the image of God. Like him, we can think and reason and feel and make choices. though we do none of these things as fully or as perfectly as he does. The attributes that separate people from the rest of creation equip us to relate to the Lord in a unique way. Jesus called his followers friends, John 15:15, and Paul wrote that believers are the sons of God, Galatians 4:7. Those are not distant, impersonal relationships. When we spend time with God, we grow as close to him as a beloved child to a father. Who's not heard of gummy bears? Who hasn't tasted gummy bears? Very few people on the planet. Well, the mother of a boy who brought gummy bears that were believed to be laced with marijuana has now been arrested. This Dateline, Cleveland, Ohio. Police and paramedics first responded to the school there on Monday afternoon to check out more than a dozen elementary school students that were given gummy worms and gummy bears suspected of containing marijuana. A school staff member was cleaning up the classroom when she first discovered a Ziploc bag that contained the THC candies, and several kids taken to the hospital. You can't be too careful. Investigators learned that a 9-year-old student brought these things into school and gave them to at least 12 other students, ages 5 to 9. What's going on at your school? Well, that ain't right. A Democratic mayor from Massachusetts, what, first elected at age 23, he's just a kid. He was arrested yesterday after a federal probe found that he allegedly stole nearly $250,000 from investors to fund his lavish lifestyle and pay down his student debts. Mayor of Fall River, Giselle Correa, now 26, arrested after allegedly stealing $231,447 from investors, money that was supposed to develop an app which connected businesses with target consumers. The app Snow Owl received $360,000 from investors, but federal authorities. The app Snow Owl, it's called, received $360,000 from investors, but federal authorities say most of that money was spent by the mayor himself. And there you go. You've heard it said before, he's just fast on his feet. She's just fast on. What does that mean? Thinking really fast. A Vietnam veteran's home went up in flames yesterday in Toledo, Ohio, but one firefighter thought quickly on his feet to preserve a patriotic symbol. Alan Scomer, who is a veteran, was working to extinguish the massive flames at his home there in Toledo around 1 a.m. when he spotted the flag's colors flying between the house and a small adjoining structure alongside. I was helping one of the rookies throw a stream in between those two structures to keep the second one from going up. That's when I noticed the colors waving in the flames behind them. Immediately, Scomer sprang into action, grabbed the flag, and carrying it carefully so it wouldn't touch the ground before resting it on the bumper of the fire truck. At the time, he didn't know the man whose home he was attempting to salvage was a veteran as well. His quick response, he said, was an easy one after his 8 years with the United States military himself. Good job. Tip of the hat to that firefighter. Alan Scomer. Shelley Brunson sent me this. It's strange to have a friend that you have never hugged, shook their hand, or looked into their eyes, but you've been touched by their soul, seen the good in their heart, and felt the warmth of their being. The friends I've never met are not my friends untouched, for I have felt them with me when I needed them. I've confided in them, and they are some of the kindest people I've ever known. My friends, never forget how special you are to me. Thanks, Shelley. Got to take a quick break and then seize the moment. And what is your purpose in life? Right after this. Well, with all that went on in my world yesterday, some of which I've shared, it was interesting. God allowed me, he is so great. He allowed me to go visit in the hospital, go visit in the nursing home. Every time I go to a nursing home, I think, hey, it won't be long. I could be right here. I could be that man in the wheelchair trying to get someone's attention for any number of things. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. You need to seize today, this hour. You know, you're not promised tomorrow. No, you are not. I am so blessed that I am able to read the Bible and understand it for the most part. I'm so glad that I'm able to pray and know that there is power in prayer. I'm so glad that I am able to fellowship with people. Oh, yeah, I love people, whether I know them or not. It's just a great thing God has put into our lives as Christians to really appreciate others. I am so glad that I'm able to serve in some way, that I could get in a vehicle and I could travel to a hospital, travel to a nursing home, help somebody in some small way. And I'm so glad that God's given us the local church. In Fort Wayne, Indiana, it's The Cross, the church that we started 31 years ago. Oh, great strength do I gather every Sunday being at The Cross. Yeah, we need to stop and thank God for some of the things we have, my friend. Not complain about what we don't have. God is great and good all the time. Well, I've been talking about purpose. Do you know what your purpose is in life? The game is not over yet. You're listening to the program, so you're still alive, and God has some plans for you. You know, I think I was 12 years old when I made one of the greatest discoveries of all time, at least for me. And here it is. A person can change his future by merely changing his mind and attitude. Yeah. Optimism is the most important human trait because it allows us to evolve our ideas, does it not, to improve the situation we're in now, and to hope, that's a good word, operative word, hope for a better tomorrow. Have you ever heard of John Wooden of UCLA? I loved him. Of course, I'm a basketball nut, and John Wooden was a great college basketball coach. Went to Purdue University here in the great state of Indiana and out to UCLA to coach all the championships that guy won. He said this, things turn out best for the people who make the best of the way things turn out. Absolutely. I agree with that. Want to be miserable? Go ahead. Want to be happy? Oh, yeah. The choice? It's really yours. So where are we? What's the message been the last 2 days? Seize the moment. I've been telling you, just find your purpose in life. Find out what God would have you to do and be. It's so very, very important. Our lives are without meaning and doomed to failure unless we find out what is our purpose and what is our reason for living. Philippians chapter 3, Paul's saying, I want to know Jesus Christ so that I may be like him. So find your purpose. And yesterday we talked about forgetting the past, and the devil does not want you to do that, really. And part of the problem is we need to forget the bad. I certainly continue to tell people that's what you need to do. I do that a lot in my demonic counseling. You're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Don't forget that. But you know what? Many of us have had a bad past. Sure you have. Let me tell you, it's time to forget that. Time to get a revelation. It's over. It's done. It's gone. Stop letting your past get you down. Nothing you're going to do to change it. The only thing you can do is forget it and then move on. It's very important. And then sometimes we go to the great things that happened in the past and what? We live there. Oh, yeah, the way it used, the good old days when I was just a happy man and everything was just perfect. We do that too much. You need to live in the present. And that's our final point. Face the present. You know, it's easy to live in the past, easy to dream away the future. There's a real challenge in today. You know why? Because it means you can no longer allow yourself the luxury of saying, well, one of these days, I'm going to do something about this and that, my sin, my temper. I'm going to do something about church and my commitment to God and tithing and my health and my responsibility to the family. And, well, this list could go on for several pages. In John chapter 11, there's a story I believe most of us are familiar with. It's about when Jesus had a good friend named Lazarus, and when Jesus arrived at the tomb, Lazarus, dead 4 days. And then Lazarus' sister Martha came to Jesus and spoke that classic phrase used by people who live in the past. Two key words, mark them down. If only. Jesus, if only. Jesus, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Really? Jesus then said to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha began dreaming about the future and said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on that last day. And here's a summation, a great thought. You see, Martha knew that Jesus had the power in the past, and she knew that he would have the power in the future. But like so many of us at times, she wasn't quite sure about his power in the present. We have no problem believing that Jesus performed many miracles in the past. One of the greatest was him dying on the cross and then rising on the third day. Hallelujah. We also have no problem believing that in the future he's going to do great and awesome miracles in the church. But why is it we have such a hard time believing his word in the present? You might want to read John 11:26. And Martha said, "Yes, Lord, you say that this morning." Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world." By this confession, she was saying, "Jesus, not yesterday, not just tomorrow, but today, I believe in you." It's when Martha did that that she began to face the present and really put faith into action, something you and I really need to do, my friend. I believe it's time for all of us to say, "Yes, Lord, we believe and we put our faith into action today, wherever you are. Lord, I believe you still are my lily in the valley. I believe you're still that small voice on the mountaintop. I believe you walk across the rivers on dry land. I believe you still calm those stormy waters and bad days. I believe you still raise the dead, heal the blind, deaf, mute, lame, broken, and are still casting out the demons." Facing the present means that we put our faith in Jesus Christ and trust him to be involved in every part of our lives. Facing the present means we choose to live as it comes to us, one day at a time. Not in the past, not in the future, but right here, right now, today. God doesn't want us to waste our lives away, does he? He wants us to seize the moment and live every day for our lives, to have a purpose. He's given us a reason for living, to be like Jesus Christ. Read Philippians 3 again, especially verse 10 and 11. It's not going to happen yesterday, so we got to forget that. We can't put it off till tomorrow because the Bible says tomorrow may never come. It has to happen right now, and it will. Seize the moment. Would that be the name of the seize the moment? Make it your own and just say, "Yes, Lord," and believe. If he did it before, can't he do it again? Here's something you didn't know. Chicago is the Windy City. Is it called that because it's windy, the weather? Nope. It was meant to be an insult to the city's windbags. Journalists used to criticize Chicago's elite for being just full of hot air, as reported in 1858 in the Chicago Daily Tribune. It was a story that read, 100 militia officers from corporal to commander air their vanity in this windy city. Not weather. No. Windy people. And now you know. And I like this one. Salt was so valuable in ancient Rome that soldiers were sometimes paid with it. In fact, the word salary comes from the Latin word sal, or salt. When a soldier was doing a lousy job, his paycheck might be cut, which is how we got the expression, not worth his salt. I like to check in now and then to see how you're doing on those New Year's resolutions. Happy New Year. Here it is on February the 7th. I just burned some 2,000 calories. That's the last time I leave the brownies in the oven while I take a quick nap. And here I am working on that diet again. I'm telling you, I am not interested in any diet plan out there unless it lets me roll over calories. Come on, smile. It's a good medicine. We all need it. Easier to smile than it is to frown, right? Hello, world. For Thursday, I'm Greg Patton. Thanks so much for joining me. Be one of those Facebook friends. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Go to gregpatton.com if you'd like to hear past broadcasts. I thank you for listening to Hello World, and a big thank you to this station for carrying it. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless and enjoy the remainder of your day.